first presenter is Andrea Bourns. She's at the College of Health Sciences, Barry University, and her work has been done in collaboration with some people from the CDC. Welcome.
All right, good morning, everyone. Today I want to talk about asthma, but not plain old asthma. I want to talk about asthma and sickle cell disease and its risk factor for acute chest syndrome in pediatric patients. Of course, we have to go through our disclosures first, and I just want to disclose my professional relationship with the University of the District of Columbia. I'm actually a professor at the Community College of the District of Columbia, and they have this research infrastructure in minority institution project. Also, I want to disclose my other job, which is a bedside respiratory therapist, and I work at Inova Fairfax Hospital, where I take care of patients with asthma. And as it was mentioned before, I have this relationship with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and the database actually comes from the CDC. So just a quick overview, what is asthma? So it's a chronic lung disease that's going to affect the airway, especially the small airways, and it's characterized by this bronchoconstriction, and then we're going to have inflammation with edema and, of course, a lot of secretions, and then it becomes really hard to breathe. Well, asthma is a really, really public health issue. That's why you guys are all here. And it affects about 10 million people in this country. And unfortunately, 30% of them are children. I want to point it out that asthma, it is the most common chronic disease of childhood. And unfortunately, it's the main reason why kids miss school. Now, when kids miss school, the parents miss work. So it's really a burden not only on the patient itself, but the family. It costs a lot of money, more than $3 billion a year spent in asthma care and almost 500,000 emergency department visits. Well, as a therapist, I always tell my patients, and I'm going to repeat it, asthma kills. It does kill people. And most of my patients don't realize that, or they not fear that. Although our mortality rate for asthma is low, I want to point it out that unfortunately it's 3 times higher among blacks than whites in any age group. Now, what about sickle cell? Some of you here might not have any idea about sickle cell. I believe most of you are involved with asthma, that's why you're here. Well, sickle cell disease is also a chronic disease, but is a genetic disease, and it's more common in Africans, Middle Eastern, Mediterranean, and Indians. And what happened in sickle cell is the red blood cells will change the shape, will become sickle, and will clump, and that clump will block the blood flow. When that happened, those patients will have what we call the sickle cell pain crisis, which is extremely painful, and most of them will actually require to go to the hospital to take care of that. They also more prone to infections and organ damage. One of the main complications of sickle cell and chronic or acute is those kids can have multiple silent strokes through their lives. So although they have other complications, and as a respiratory therapist, I would just point out a couple of them, like obstructive sleep apnea, cardiomegaly, pulmonary hypertension, and of course, acute chest syndrome, which is the one we're gonna focus today. Although the data is a little old there, 5 years ago, we already had an average of 113,000 sickle cell disease hospitalizations in the U.S., which cost us $500 million. A lot of people don't know this, but sickle cell disease is the most common disorder identified as part of the newborn screening. And we have more than 7,000 patients in this country. And according to the CDC, one in every 400 African Americans will actually be born with sickle cell disease. And the scary part of it, it's that one in every 12 will actually carry the trait. Well, a little bit more of disparities, that's why we're here, public health conference. The sickle cell-related deaths and mortality is way much higher than asthma. Although we've been doing much better than a decade ago, the problem with sickle cell is that our patients still have less access to comprehensive care. And I just want to point it out, when we compare to other genetic disease like cystic fibrosis, which is a disease of the white, they have way much less access to care. And although the mortality has improved, it's still very high, especially in very young children. So if you don't remember anything about what I said, I just hope that when you leave here, that at least you're going to spread the word that sickle cell disease, it is the most common genetic disorder in African Americans and deserve more attention. At least it's my personal opinion. Well, so as a respiratory therapist, of course, when I step into the CDC, I wanted to put some of my experience in place. And I ask myself and my mentor, can I do in pulmonary complications? Do you have a blood disorder where you think I could work on pulmonary complication? And she was thrilled. She was like, absolutely. I think you should dig in into asthma. And I'm like, woohoo, okay. So I heard for the first time in my life the word acute chest syndrome. Believe it or not, as a therapist, I never heard that word before. And the reason why is acute chest syndrome is a term that's only used among sickle cell patients. So if you don't work for a hospital where it's a sickle cell center, you might never see that. You're probably going to see patients and they will say they have pneumonia, but you never heard of that. So what we wanted to do then, we had this wonderful database, and we wanted to see, okay, so does children that have both sickle cell and asthma, do they come to the ER more often, and do they have acute chest syndrome more often? Well, so then what is acute chest syndrome? As I said before, it's very similar to pneumonia. It's a pulmonary illness that's going to show a new infiltrate on the x-ray. And patients will present with symptoms and signs, at least one of them, chest pain, cough, wheezing, tachypnea, or fever. And I want to point out that chest pain, cough, wheezing, tachypnea, that sounds very similar for asthma. So I was very interested when I saw all that. The other thing is, as a respiratory therapist, I have in the back of my mind, but why would asthma have something to do with sickle cell? Well, when you look at the pathophysiology of asthma and you remember there is inflammation and hypoxemia, those are factors that can cause the cells to change the shape, to become sickle. And then, of course, if that clump becomes in the lung, you're going to have acute chest syndrome. So the problem with acute chest syndrome is if the patient survived acute chest syndrome, if it keeps having acute chest syndrome, this patient's going to end up developing what we call the chronic sickle cell lung disease. And the problem with that is that most of those chronic lung disease will turn into pulmonary hypertension. As a respiratory therapist, that's one of my fears, to have to take care of someone with pulmonary hypertension. It's a very, very serious disease, and most patients will die if they don't get a new lung. So lung transplantation would be important there. So a previous study showed that actually 30% of the patients with sickle cell disease, at some point in their life, they will develop pulmonary hypertension. And when that happens, they usually only survive another 2 years. So that's bad. And my other fear was when I saw that at 13% of patients with that develop acute chest syndrome, they will end up in a mechanical ventilator, and unfortunately, 30% of them will not survive. So we had this wonderful database called the Market Scan, and once again, it belongs to the CDC. And with the wonderful help of Jessica and Christy, the statistician, statistics not my forte, we were able to identify 2,428 children that had sickle cell that were enrolled in Medicaid for the year 2005. And I included pneumonia in the research just because I was afraid that the same way that I never heard of acute chest syndrome, that maybe some rural hospitals would be diagnosing those patients with pneumonia and it was actually acute chest syndrome. Well, as a result, we saw that 15% of our patients with sickle cell also had asthma. And when we look at the emergency department visit, we noticed that, and that's not a surprise to me, that children that had both sickle cell disease and asthma, they will come twice as much to the ER than children that had only sickle cell disease. Now, when we look at the gender, race, and age, gender and age is pretty much distributed the same, which is not a surprise. Now, if you look at the race, of course, you expect that African Americans to have both the highest distribution of sickle cell and asthma. But we also saw this a big distribution on the category considered older. And we think the older is the other African descendants. They're not American, but they probably put themselves in that category. Now, when we look at acute chest syndrome and pneumonia in those two population, and it wasn't really a big surprise because of other studies that were shown that acute chest syndrome can happen more often in patients with asthma. And you can see that it's about 3 times more chance of developing pneumonia or acute chest syndrome if you have both sickle cell disease and asthma. So I raise a couple questions. The first one is, if we do a proper management of asthma in this population, will this then decrease the number of acute chest syndrome and therefore less ER visit and therefore less sickle cell chronic lung disease and hopefully no pulmonary hypertension? And I really hope the answer is yes. To conclude, I really hope that this patient population not only spend their time with hematologists and oncologists, but they get more involved with pulmonologists and respiratory therapists. I think every child with sickle cell disease should be screened for asthma very early in their life. And not only in respiratory therapy, but of course in public health, the key is always education. Now, we have other questions, and we hope that someone would be interested in doing more research in that. And that is, we already have this wonderful national guideline to treat and diagnose asthma. But will that guideline be a good guideline for people that have sickle cell disease because they take so many other medications? So hopefully in the future someone is going to find out if that's correct or not. I would like to thank you all for being here today. I would like to thank Dr. Grant, my wonderful mentor at the CDC, once again Christy and Jessica for doing all the statistic part that I couldn't do, Dr. Jordan for providing me with the wonderful experience at the CDC, and of course the financial sponsors. Without them I wouldn't be here, and that's Dr. Connie Webster, Regina Norman, and Shane Blake. Thank you.